Let us bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time that this family can come together praising your name, dear Lord, letting you know that you are on our minds and you are in our hearts, dear Lord, and that we don't want to take granted what you've done for us.
All right,
so the little that we do for you, dear Lord, we want it to be evident. We don't want it to be hidden, dear Lord. We want the world to know that we've come to this place to praise your name and to lift you up. Dear Lord, you constantly lift us up. So we want to lift you up. We want to lift your name up and let everyone know that here at Christian Bible Baptist, you are the head of our lives. You are the answer to our questions. Whatever trouble or problem we have, dear Lord, you are the solution. Dear Lord, I ask you to move me out the way. Cleanse me, dear Lord. Cleanse me of all my sins, any iniquities, dear Lord. Whatever would hinder my walk with you. Whatever would stop this prayer from getting past this room, dear Lord. Please forgive me first. Then forgive all the saints, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we need you. And we would do anything for you, dear Lord. Please open our eyes, our minds, our spirits, dear Lord, and let your word do its work. Dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, as I told Brother Elmer earlier, every time I thought that I was somewhat prepared, because coming up here, I never feel truly prepared, that I was woke up 2 nights in a row with scriptures that I hadn't gone over, but the Lord said, this is what I want for my people. And I said, okay. And the question that came to mind when I was putting this together was, how blind are you? Now, there are many types of blindness. And there are many things that we are blind to. We're blind to ourselves, our selfishness. We're blind to our greed. We're blind to our indiscretions. We're blind to the simple jokes that we make about someone else that we may think that's, you know, just funny and not harmful. But most of us are blind, most of all, of sin that we don't think twice about. Just today, think about who you could have helped that you chose that they were an inconvenience, that you couldn't take a minute of your time out to help them. Who did you say something negative about when you could have just kept quiet? There are many kinds of blindness, but there's only one true cure, and that's Jesus, our Savior. In the world, now Pastor always gives statistics, so I was like, you know what, I'm going to get in his book a little bit, just a little bit. And I looked up, in the world, there are 285 million estimated people with visual impairments. 39 million are completely blind. Again, how blind are you? Going to our text, one spot in our text, is John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. And it reads, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Jesus had just come from the Mount of Olives, where he had put some folks in their place. Now, they weren't very happy with him, and they had decided to stone him, and he had escaped by the wayside, so they couldn't complete what they wanted to complete because his mission wasn't complete. So he could come in front of his disciples and show the works, well, his works in front of them once again, because he was constantly performing miracles in front of them, whether there was a crowd or not a crowd. He was sent from God, and he was showing them, he was basically showing them what they could do if they truly believed in him. And just as he had came past this blind man, like us, who was blind from birth, because none of us come out praising God and saying how good he is that, you know, I came out of there without any hurt, harm, or dislocated shoulder, or tan mama up. None of us came out that way. And before we learned to praise God, we learned a lie. So, just saying, how blind are you, or how blind do you think you were? Now, those people that wanted to stone Jesus, that was another story. They were also blind, but I didn't go there. Came late. But until Jesus comes into your life, you can't see. Until God pricks your heart, no matter how many scriptures you hear, you will still be blind. Your ears will still be hard, and so will your heart. Or let me rephrase that, your ears will still be itchy. It'll be itchy for anything but the word of God. And you will listen to anything and everything but what God has for you. Whether it be prayer, whether it be preaching, whether it be music, it doesn't matter. Until your heart's pricked and God says it wakes you up, it's nearly impossible for you to understand or become enlightened to what God has for you. For some of us, until we get God's love, it is impossible for us to do anything until he literally lays his hands on us. Like he did this man. This man did nothing to cause his blindness, but he was put there for a reason. Like us, we were put on this earth, we have a purpose. Each of us have a purpose. This man's purpose was to show the goodness, mercy, and love of God. And it was this appointed time in front of the apostles that he was brought in, that they entered, they came in contact with God. These parents, it doesn't say that the parents were looking for Jesus to give their son sight. Jesus came across them. Just like us, God sent his son for us. And at this time, this man was given back his sight because Jesus was sent for him. Out of all the million of blind people that could have been blind at this time, like it says in the book, for one, he would have came back just for one of us. Like it said, the statistics said, 39 million are completely blind. And he would have came down here and died on the cross to give one his sight. Sometimes it takes God's love to open our eyes. And sometimes it's kind of a rite of passage. And sometimes until we open our eyes, we can't help anybody else, let alone ourselves. Because sometimes the darkness is where we're comfortable. We don't want our neighbor's touch. We don't want our family's touch, let alone God's touch. Who is He? When your heart ain't right, you don't want to be, you don't want anyone to get you right. That's just not where you're at. But God.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, sometimes our Savior has to put His hands on us to get us straight. The other verse that I went to was Luke 18. Luke chapter 18, verses 35 through 43. And it reads, "And it came to pass that as He was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the way side begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith have saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto him. Now, before I go to my little piece, in this world, if you opened up your eyes and said, thank you, God, no matter where you at,
Watch out.
You will not get a group behind you saying, praise be to God. The first thing will be the backs of heads that you see, because they are trying to get away from you, because that's how this world is.
Amen.
They don't want anything to do with God or Jesus or salvation. As serious that might sound, people don't want to be saved, at least not the right way.
Amen.
Now, if they in a burning house, after they done said everything they gonna say, at the last minute, that's when they'll be asking for God to save them as they're trying to throw their stuff out the window. There are those among us that just need to hear the word of God. Just need the chance to cry out. To cry out to Jesus if you know He's coming. You know that Jesus is coming. He's going to be down that road. And you know that He's close. How many of us would sit silently?
Okay, my mind.
Again, how blind are you?
Yeah.
Would you sit silently knowing that the Savior is coming down the way? Mm-hmm. Or would you cry out like this blind man did?
Amen.
Cry it out. Would you fight the crowd? Mm-hmm. Would you, instead of letting them rebuke you and sit you down and say, look, you done said enough. You causing a scene over here.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I'm blind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a leper. I'm sick.
Yes.
I need help.
Amen.
None of you
Amen.
Have done anything to help me.
All right.
So you got nothing to say.
Okay.
I'm calling the only one that can help
All right.
me.
Yeah. All right. There it is. You're the only one.
I have heard.
All right.
And now I want to see.
Okay.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
How bad do you want it? Will you fight the crowd?
Right.
Or will you be part of the crowd? Remember, the world will try and stop you no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
If they know that you're out, if they know that you are a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing you can do right.
All right.
But if you stumble,
mm-hmm.
there are 7, 8, 9, or 10 people to point it out and let you know. And each of them will have certain details that the other one didn't.
Okay.
this whole world would try to stop you from seeing, hearing, and believing in the Lord and Savior. But you have to fight. We didn't get into believing in God because it was the easy way to go. There's not one apostle that said this is going to be a cakewalk, because they seen their Savior, our Savior, crucified on the cross. They knew the message that he sent, that he was going to be preaching, would certainly be their end also. The only thing they didn't know was how long they were going to be preaching before it happened. And it didn't stop any of them. Now, it seems like I'm moving backwards, but this is just how it gave it to me. The next text I have is Matthew 23. Like, I only have one scripture. Oh, yes. Matthew 23, verse 26. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Now you might say, what does that have to do with blind? Not all of us are visually blind. Being spiritually blind, you'll do things like work all your life, serving communion, making sure that Sister so-and-so or Mr. who got a thing. Make sure all the Bibles are done. Vacuum the floor. Sang in the choir. And as soon as you got out, you had your 40 in hand. Before you got home, you had your stuff rolled up and ready to go. So your outward appearance, you are holier than thou. Holier than thou, I'm sorry. And you do everything to let everybody know that you are a true, honest believer in the one and only God until you get out of sight. And then the dirt that's in you comes right on out. And as soon as Saturday night, when the alarm clock go off on Sunday morning, you put on your holy garb, you come on to church with your hangover, and you are praising the Lord to the utmost ability that you have at that moment. But you can't wait till cha-ching, service is done, so you can get back to the real you. And that's where this came from. It's not always that we are visually blind and we can't see the way to go. Some people are walking the way, but are completely in disarray. And some of us just look the part of righteousness. But until we get cleaned up, we have a long way to go yet. Get spiritually clean inside and out. This is what I actually wrote. Get spiritually clean inside and out. Looking righteous and being righteous are two different things. If you choose to follow God, it has to be all the way. He's not a part-time God. He doesn't need part-time servants. Some folks act as if God is everything, act like God is everything good and wonderful, but are full of sin and darkness. Always be concerned about your inner man. Because if you ain't right inside, it don't matter what you're doing on the outside. Because when we get to heaven and God is passing down his judgment, and you're saying, Lord, Lord, look at all I did, and he tells you that he never knew you, you could have did a whole lot of other stuff with your inner man that had nothing to do with church by the way you were really living. And some of us are just blind. We think that our works will get us into heaven. Faith without works is dead. So if you are living the life of a righteous man but believe nothing, but you think, oh, I'm morally wonderful. I help my neighbor. When so-and-so had a flat, I know they were going to get a stash, but I helped them change their tire anyway. But I didn't tell them nothing about God. But I'm morally, I'm a wonderful person. Well, that's fine and dandy. But are you wonderful spiritually? Is your spirit right? Or are you spiritually blind as well as physically blind? How blind are you? And then, because I kept waking up at night, the Lord works apparently at nighttime is where he does wonderful things when you're trying to get some beauty sleep. Acts 9, I have Acts 9 verse 7 through 9. And it's about pastor's favorite person in the world, about Paul. At this time, he was still Saul, and he was completely blind. He was completely blind to God. And this is how far we can go and be brought back, because he was having people completely jailed and killed for believing in Christ. And it was he was doing his job, and he was doing it well. There was no one that didn't know who he was. And he knew the law, and he knew how to get you. So if he wanted you, he would get you, and you would pay most time the ultimate price just for being a believer. There wouldn't be churches on every corner with a bar down the street. There'd be two bars instead of a church. And he was paving the way for it. And it reads, and the men which journeyed with him, maybe I need to go back further. We'll go to verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Saul was blinded. God took away his sight because he wasn't seeing anyway. He wasn't understanding what he was doing to the Most High God. And he was doing it with pride and joy. He enjoyed his work. And he was punishing people by the hundreds and thousands depending on where he went. He would empty churches out. And if he didn't have permission, he would get permission. He made sure that what he did, he was backed by the government of this time. That's how blind he was. Satan had such a grip on him that he made sure that he enjoyed persecuting God's people. And again, sometimes God has to put his hands on you for you to get some sight. Not only did he put his hands on him, he threw him on the ground. So don't think for a second you won't get abused to get right. Sometimes we have to be completely on our backs with our face to the sky before we understand and realize and see the greatness of God. Amen. And what God has for you, he speaks directly to you. He was speaking to Saul in this text, And the men that were round about didn't hear a thing. Jesus himself was speaking to Saul, and it was for Saul to hear, not for anybody else. So the men that were there, they seen him hit the ground, and they probably pointed out and said, well. But Saul was talking. They heard no man. But Saul understood that the God of the people he prosecuted wasn't having it. And then I jump to verses 17 through 22 of Acts 9. Because we know the story. God went and talked to Ananias, and Ananias was ready to get knocked on his butt too. But he went as he was instructed. And it says, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hand on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them, which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. When he chooses you, and you choose to follow God, he will give you everything you need. He was blind 3 days where he fasted. It doesn't say he fasted, it just said he didn't eat. He was quite sorrowful and sorry for what he did. I believe he fasted those 3 days that he couldn't find the food. And then went forth. As soon as he got his sight, and then Ananias told him what, you know, I see, I know what you seen. I don't think Saul was sitting there saying, oh, that guy that was crucified, yeah, I seen him. No, he was blind, and at this point, Jesus been dead for years. But he seen him. And Ananias said, you seen God, you seen Jesus, they done talked to you, they done told you what you gonna do. And Saul had his sight. He had not just his physical sight, but God had opened up his spiritual eyes and opened up his heart and said, you will be my man. Amen. And when God chooses you, he will give you strength. And as he was preaching God's word to those same people that, you know, the Jews were like, this guy, he came here to take all this away so we can get back to business. You know, because they were still blind. This was a business thing for them. They were running the church and making money hand over fist. And now this man comes that's supposed to clean it up for them a little bit. And he's preaching the same message that the apostles were preaching. And he's getting more people saved and coming. And his message wasn't getting weaker, it was getting stronger. So, you know, when God's message gets stronger, the people get stronger. And sheep beget sheep. So you can almost imagine that a multitude was starting to build around him. How blind are you? And are you so blind that God can't bring you back from where Saul was? Saul was a murderer. You don't have to hold the axe to cut somebody's head off. You don't have to pull the trigger to get someone killed. All it takes is action. If you do something, you set somebody else up, you can still hurt people without ever touching them. And Saul was a master at it. So just because you didn't do it doesn't mean you weren't part of it or the cause of it. Saul was as bad as they get. And Jesus said, God said, you are my man, and you will save my people, and you will bring my word. And that's what he says to each and every one of us. As in some way or another, we are ministers also. Each and every one of us, whether we minister to ourselves or our children or our friends and family, we are all ministers to a point. We don't have to be in the pulpit. We don't have to have our own flock. But we do have to put the word of God out there. We have to let people know that this is what we believe wholeheartedly. That Jesus came, lived, preached, and was crucified and came back the third day with all power. Came back. Not only did he come back, he went to the apostles and said, here, look, I told you I was coming back. And until that point, they still had their blinders on. Yes. And they still were cowering in the upper room. But they needed their blinders taken off too. They walked with Jesus. They talked with Jesus. They watched him perform miracles after miracles. He showed them how to pray. He showed them how to perform miracles. Until they came against the little demonic boy, they were casting out demons. They were doing the stuff that Jesus was doing. They believed that they had their blinders off. They thought they had sight. But until they seen Jesus come back from the dead without anybody else laying hands on him or bringing him back, because they did that too. The apostles had power. But they didn't have sight. And Thomas didn't want sight. He said, until I can put my hand in his hand, my finger in his hand, and my hand in his side, I don't believe it. What does it take? I mean, really, does it take all that? You walked with the man, but it took all that for you to get your sight. And I had another one that just came to mind, the woman at the well. She seen Jesus just another man until she spoke to him and he offered her water. Then her eyes were open to who he really was. I didn't go into that one, but you know, God works.
Okay.
God works. He works wonderfully. But how blind are you? Some of us will never get that sight. And we'll be in church all our lives. And we'll think that we've done everything right. And there lies a problem. We think instead of following what God says.
Amen.
Let us be out the way and follow the path that God has already made. It ain't tricky. It ain't big. There ain't a bunch of signs. Because why would you put signs down that a blind man can't follow? That's why the road is narrow. So that even the blind man with a stick, he can go right down that path. Red tip and all. Thank you.